Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and I've got a shirt on this week. Didn't know Z was going to be taping us last week. I'm ready. The Dominican Sue is retiring. Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner sign extensions with the New York Jets. And Juwan Jennings wants a new contract. We'll begin today's show with the Home Run Derby. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, became the first catcher to win the Home Run Derby. That's pretty impressive. What impressed you more, Cal Raleigh winning the Derby, Caminero making it to the finals, or O'Neill Cruz hitting a 513-foot home run?
None of the above. Here's what impressed me. .814. What's .814, you might ask? That's how long I lasted before I turned it off. So there you go. I think I got through Brent Rooker's first round. Yeah. Pat McAfee, shut the fuck up. Like, this is, you know, like, you ruined everything you touch turns to shit, my man. Like, that was...
I must have been watching it on mute, because I don't remember hearing him. I think maybe I watched it on one of the different channels.
Maybe, or he was doing the intros. Like, the intro, I almost didn't make it through the intros, man. It was very rah-rah, WWE, like, you expect, you know... At one point, he said Cal Raleigh had the biggest ass in the majors. What else? He almost called the Pittsburgh Pirates the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't know if he took a bite of his zin or just like kind of caught himself. But it's just like, and then whoever the guy was next to him, dude wearing eye black. Here's a pro tip. If you are not going to play, you are not wearing eye black, son. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, you look like a schmuck. You're next to Schmucky the Clown. So it's like, there you go. That's all I need to say about that. But... he took it out of me very quickly. Took it out of a lot of people, including Bob Ryan. Bob Ryan was all over him on X. It's like, this is not WWE. This is baseball. God damn it.
Love Bob Ryan. Friend of the program.
The Hingham Hammer. We'd love to have you on, Bob. But I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I survived Pat McAfee. It can only go up. And then came the rules. And now you have... two buckets and 40 balls and you know, if you hit one over 425 you get an extra and then you get a three, just like, and then you get the red balls for the it's too much. Remembering the days of 10 outs, that's it. You get the, you know, people were playing for a house. Like, when did they stop doing that? Like, that was awesome. The Century, you know, probably when Century 21 stopped sponsoring it. That's when Home Run Derby, you know, they can't win some free phones. Like, it's T-Mobile. They can't get some phones or something. But, you know, it's a little ridiculous. And then on top of that, it's like, as I'm getting through this, okay, like, O'Neill Cruz's first four homers... or on the first four pitches, I'm like, okay, fine, cool. You're losing me. You're absolutely losing me. I'm not here for the speed round. I'm here for the event. And then between Carl Ravitch being as interesting as milk and the stat guys, like, you can go over to the stat cast and they're friggin' nerds. Sorry, I'm a math teacher. I'm not even into numbers the way these people are into numbers. But, you know, that it's just not me. This game is not meant for me. This is not, I mean, All-Star games in general are not meant for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I care about the regular season. I care about the playoffs. Like, when you had something on the line, like home field advantage.
Yeah, like
coming. That. Yeah, coming out of the 2002 debacle when they ended up with a 7-7 tie, you know, you needed to do something to juice this game. And having the home field advantage, it did. It juiced the game. People played, and they played to win. They played to get the advantage. Now what's everybody's going to split, what, $1 million or whatever it is? Like, everybody's getting paid, dude. You're getting $100,000 to be there. I think it's another 10 grand to be in the Home Run Derby, something like that. So like everything is incentivized. You know, you're getting another 10 grand if you're mic'd up during the game. So you're probably going to make an error and look like a fool on that. And, you know, and it's just if this game and this event is not for me anymore, man. And I can fully respect that. And I can fully admit that. Like as a man of a certain age, it's like, I remember when this was good. Like, I remember when you had guys, you know, 8 guys deep who were legit studs. You didn't have guys turning it down multiple times. Like, Junior Caminero, I think, was the 3rd guy asked. One guy is like, cool, nah, I'm out. I'm like, oh, I'm out. Then, like, Junior, do you want to do it? Like, okay, sure. He got paid almost as much, if not more, than he's making this season from the Rays. So good for Junior Caminero. Like, who expected him to do anything? You know, he was the late entrant along with Jazz Chisholm. And, you know, for Junior Caminero to come out there and represent himself and his organization, well, good for him. Cal Raleigh, let's not pretend that the league leader in home runs was some sort of dark horse. He leads the majors in home runs. Like, come the fuck on. Like, that's enough of that. And, you know, the decimal point is 0.1 feet of difference between him and Brent Rooker. Let them both go. Do something. But, like, we're talking about a tenth of a foot? Is that what we're talking about here? Come on now.
How accurate, like, is that shit?
I don't know. Apparently, it's quite accurate. But we have this technology, but we're still waiting on robo-umps. We're still waiting on the ABS system. Oh, that's going to happen tonight, though, in the All-Star game. So we'll see how that goes. You know, that's going to go over as well as a fart in church with the umpires. But that's either here nor there. But, you know, like, I tried for the good of the show. But between Pat McAfee and the video gamization of this thing and the lack of transparency with the Brent Rooker thing, and, you know, and that was it. That was it. You know, and, you know, all for everybody dumping on Jazz Chisholm today, for everybody dumping on him because he only hit 3 homers, let's see how you would do. Like, come on. Like, for a guy who's not a home run hitter, yes, he's got 17 homers, but he's not a home run hitter, to go out there, he was going out for the vibes. Like, he said it as much. You know, he's got his Demon Slayer bat. He's out. He was like the 27th guy asked. So, you know, you're not getting Judge. You're not getting Otani. You're not getting Vlad. You're not getting Pete. You're getting who you get. You know, it's going to eventually, like, a pitcher is going to go in there. He's like, I'll give it a go. Like, I'll see. You know, I haven't hit in years. I haven't hit since high school. I'll give it a try. So, you know, kudos to Jazz for trying. 3 homers, not his best representation. But remember this, ladies and gentlemen. In 1993 and 1994, Mike Piazza was in the Home Run Derby twice. How many home runs did he hit? 0. Between 2 years, Mike Piazza hit 0 homers. So, Jazz Chisholm has 3 more home runs than Mike Piazza ever had in a Home Run Derby. So, cut the shit and leave Jazz alone.
Well, for a guy who didn't watch it, you had a lot to say about it. I'll try to keep it short so we can move on, but... you know, I'm an all-star game fan. I do enjoy the Home Run Derby, but I don't watch it from beginning to end. I tuned in around the time Matt Olson got up, which was cool. You know, he's the hometown guy, and he tried to rally towards the end. So it was nice. It was fun to watch the fans get into it as he was, you know, trying to rally back. I'm with you. The format sucks. Like, I miss, the guys are exhausted. Like, they're exhausted swinging the bat. Like, I remember, like, you know, back in the day, those also, like, 98 or 99, where, you know, you're just swinging hard. And you take a little break because you only had 10 outs. So it's like, all right, you know, all right, I'm ready. And you took some pitches. But, you know, I think they should do away with the whole format. I go back to like 10 outs or 15. If you want to do like 20 outs, 15 outs, 10 outs in the last round, you could do something like that. Yeah. But this format is awful. I was interested to hear like some. I was interested to hear that Buxton, who I thought did very well for a guy who's, I mean, he's a decent hitter, but it was cool. I think he did well. It's interesting to hear that when he was in high school, he was able to throw a football 80 yards. That was amazing.
Wow.
80 yards, 82 yards.
I thought you were going to say that he said, I'm not going anywhere. I have no trade clause. So I'm a Minnesota Twin for life. Shows me that he's a loser. So,
but that was kind of, that was cool. Chisholm was an embarrassment. I'm sorry. Like, even Mike Piazza was an embarrassment. Like, take the temperature of the room. Like, you know, this, maybe if it was in Yankee Stadium or if it was in Miami. Yeah.
Oh, dude. A bunch of people got caught on audio saying that. If it was in the stadium, these would be home runs.
Yeah, but if he was, I don't know, where is he from? Atlanta? Is he from
the Bahamas?
All right, so, like, you had no business participating in this thing. Leave it up to the pros, leave it up to the professional hitters. Really impressive what Cal Raleigh was able to do. You know, just switch hitting catcher. You know, I was rooting for him. I wanted to see him do well. I wanted to see him win. He came through. Caminero, the Rays got a bright future with him. You know, they take care of him. It was an okay event. Like I said, it was just too long. I enjoy the old way. They'll never, maybe when Rob is gone, they can go back to normalizing some of this shit. But they're treating it. See, that's the one event for All-Star where I want the guys to have fun. That's where I want to see them have fun. Have fun hitting home runs. Have fun joking around the sideline. But for the All-Star game, I'm with you. I want something on the line. I want these guys to play hard. I want these guys to win. Don't turn this into the NBA shit.
No, completely. And we're gonna break it down later. We're gonna actually do a little comparison between the dunk contest and the home run derby, which is a good apples to apples comparison. And what do you have in common is that the Stars don't want to participate anymore, dude. The Stars don't want to do it.
Really?
Like, Judge has been there, done that. Otani, we're never gonna see it.
In the
home run derby.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that though. I don't need them to. He's already competed. Like, they've done it before. They've both done it. I'm pretty sure Otani and Judge have done it.
You're not going to get Vlad. You're not going to get Pete Alonso again.
I don't need that. I actually don't want that. I would prefer what we had. We had Cal Raleigh. We had the hometown guys, Acuna, Olsen. That's what I want to see. I want to see that stuff. I don't need this. I want to see. That's what I want to see. That's okay. I don't need to see those guys. That's fine. But little bit of controversy surrounding the All-Star game. The Brewers phenom pitcher, see if I get his name right, Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz.
Nailed it.
Has caused quite a stir, getting selected as an All-Star replacement only after 5 starts. He's electrifying to watch, but some members of the Phillies feel some of their guys were more deserving of a selection. So are you okay with the Miz serving as a replacement? Or are you with Trey Turner and the Phils that he has not done enough?
He is the Miz, and he is awesome. In 25 and two-thirds innings, he's walked 11, but he's also fanned 33. So that's pretty impressive. Took a perfect game, I think, into the 7th, I believe, in his major league debut, and they took him out. In 25 and two-thirds innings, he has destroyed the competition. I personally am not okay with it, but here's the precedent set. Paul Skeens. We can't talk shit about this kid when we tripped over ourselves to get Paul Skeens into the game last year. Can't do it. We can't do it. I'm sure there are many other guys that we talked about last year who had comparable resumes, who had longer time in the majors than Skeens, and we were okay with it.
Not me.
Now all of a sudden, you're the lone exception. This is no different than a reliever having, you know, a low inning count. Like a closer. Like, that's fine. Where you lose me, though, is the fact that you had so many guys, and we talked about it last week, we talked about so many guys, and not just the ones who were on the Phillies. Yes, the Phillies were the loudest with the complaints. But there are plenty of guys that you could have put on this roster instead of Jacob Mizrowski. There were. Christopher Sanchez being the most, you know, being the most obvious to where you know, the Phillies even recognized the fact that you got snubbed. They paid him his $50,000 all-star bonus. It's like, you didn't make the team, but you're an all-star in our book, Chris. Good for you, man. Congratulations. Absolutely. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Christopher Sanchez. So, you know, I think there is something to what Trey Turner's saying, though. The idea of it's now a media contest. It's now who gets eyeballs to the TV. And hasn't it always been to some degree? Right? You have the fan vote. As long as you have the fan vote, the fans are going to vote in the popular players, right? Whether they're deserving or not. Now, you have opportunities to mitigate that. But then you just go and shoot yourself in the foot by just kind of reinforcing the fact that it is, in fact, a popularity contest. It is a battle for eyeballs. It's a battle for content. Like you say, content is everything. Seeing this kid will bring clicks. It will bring likes. It will bring shares. It will bring everything that they're looking for on social media. And Trey Turner and the Phillies are doing exactly what Rob Manfred wants. Because now you're gonna hate click this stuff. Now you're gonna hate watch it. Now you're gonna rage bait. Now you're just gonna comment away about how this is an atrocity to Major League Baseball. They got Jeff Passan doing, right? They got Alden Gonzalez doing it. They got Ken Rosenthal doing it, commenting about how this is a blight and a black mark on Major League Baseball. But you let Paul Skeens in last year and it was okay. I think Paul Skeens had what, 9 more innings, something like that, maybe 10 more innings. So if it was good enough for him,
nah,
it's good
Skeens
enough for
them. He had to have more starts.
I think he was on. He may have had like 40-something start, or he may have 40-something innings. Like, that's still not enough, right? Like, that's still reliever numbers. So if it was like 5 innings, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But because Paul Skeens got in on such a small inning total last year, let the kid in. And if the kid gets hammered is what it is. And he took it in stride. You know, I will give Mizrowski credit. He said, "You're not mad at me. They're not mad at me. I didn't choose to do this. I didn't campaign. I didn't politic. But I was chosen. So the future is bright for this kid. Milwaukee should be really happy with the guy that they got, because he seems to have his head on his shoulders, even though Rob Manfred has his square up his culo.
Yeah, so I don't agree with it. I think he's going to get the chance to pitch in many more All-Star games, but to me, he didn't put in the time. Yeah, I think it's great, you know, to showcase him, but in terms of entertainment value, yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to watch him come in and throw 100, but Skeens can does that. But I think there are other guys in the league have earned it. There are other guys that may have earned their first appearance or their second or third appearance, or, you know, not every year is a great year for, you know, most players. So when that opportunity comes up, you can't deny them. And in this situation, you're giving it to a guy that just got here. He just got here, you know? So I'm with Trey Turner. Whether he's taking a spot away from a pitcher or he's taking a spot away from a fielder who deserves it. And I get what you're saying. Like, fans vote and managers have a say and all the not and all, you know, yeah, it's true. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want to see a baseball game with the best players. I'm not saying he's not the best player. I'm just saying that there are other guys that are more deserving, and his time will come. I had the same problem with Skeens last year, because last year we had Chris Sale, who really deserved to start the All-Star game, not Skeens. I didn't care what Skeens was going to do, because now, look, this is 2 years in a row that Skeens is starting the All-Star game. So it's like, come on. Like, let's just be real about the situation. The Miz will get his opportunity another time, but this was the wrong move. And then Rob Manfred coming out and defending it. Just shut the fuck up. Like, don't say anything, man. J- Just don't say anything. He doesn't need... You're not his dad. You're not his father. You don't need to go fucking defend him or defend what's going on. Just go to the game, Rob, and just shut up. Just shut up. You're ruining us enough, man. Just stop. Just stop.
The same Rob Manfred that Alex Rodriguez has said is going to get into Cooperstown one day?
Yeah.
Yeah. He could buy a ticket. He could buy a ticket just like the rest of us. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying about Mizrowski, and I think that we need to separate the player. We definitely need to separate the player from the social media craze. And the media, we are part of the media, even though we are not as sensational as some. The media plays a role in this. The media hyped this kid up because of what he did in his first two starts, in his first five starts. Yes, it's a great start. Plenty of guys have had great starts in their career and have gone absolutely fucking nowhere. So we see it all the time.
And I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. It's not his fault. I just don't like the way it went down. I don't appreciate the commentary about it. I mean, it's, you know, you think the Phillies are the only people that feel this way about him?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's, there's been plenty of players that have been breaking their ass forever trying to get an opportunity to play in an all-star game, to showcase themselves with the best, to be in those locker rooms. You're just handing it over after five games or five starts, whatever he did. Five starts. Come on. I think it takes a little bit more to be in the baseball all-star game. But that's just me.
No, you're absolutely right. There used to be, again, we're going back to the way things used to be.
I didn't want Acuña in it, and he's played because he didn't start the season until a month ago. I didn't want him in it.
I mean, with Acuña, though.
He's the hometown guy. He has to play.
But, you know, at least Acuña has a certain amount of games under his belt. You know, there needs to be the games limit or the innings limit or something of that nature. And I think that that is certainly important. But we as the media need to start being the adults in the room. We need to start, you know, the same way they guard the Hall of Fame. Maybe they should guard the All-Star game.
Huh.
To be an All-Star means something, right? To be an All-Star used to in any essence. Now it's what? It's just an extra paycheck. Like now you're getting three fewer days off than the rest of your teammates. You know, there are a lot of obligations that go into it, but it used to be an honor. It used to be an honor. And it wouldn't surprise me if eventually this goes the way of the Pro Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me.
Because
there's a lot of shit that happens, man. It's a lot. It's very loaded. So, you know, it's a good honor. Mizrowski, congratulations. You got it. But it's a bad precedent. Five starts, 25 innings. How much lower can we go? One good game and they're going to get the All-Star game? is that where the bar is going? Because the bar is pretty friggin' low right there.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Speaking of pretty low, Bronny James. We're talking NBA Summer League basketball. Take a drink. Bronny James led the Lakers with 17 points in their 9-point loss to the Clippers in their Summer League game. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
No deal. He's really worked himself into being no deal. The fact that we're talking about what he's doing in summer league games, and he's actually not having a good summer league. I mean, he played well in that game, but they still lost the game. You know, it's just a sad situation. Like, my man could be going into his third year in college, making decent money, playing for USC, or maybe even transferring to another school, but I mean, it's just sad. We know what he is, Z. We know what he is. And you know what? he must know what he is at this point. Even if he was delusional coming out, he has to know now how terrible he is. So, you know, I hope what he's getting out of it, whatever he wanted to get out of it, but it's pretty sad.
It's no deal. It's completely no deal. We're talking about NBA Summer League, for God's sake. You know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about guys who are going to be in the G League. We're going to talk about guys who are going to be on the S end of the bench, the ones who don't play, or the ones who play in, like, huge blowouts and garbage time. Like, that's what we're talking about here. So, for Bronny James to have a good game with 17 points against guys who will be bagging groceries, I don't know if that's necessarily something to be lauded. I don't care for NBA Summer League. It's the equivalent. It's spring training, man. It's spring training. It's Diet Coke. I think it's worse than that.
It's worse than spring training because none of these guys are going to sniff the league. None of them. None of them are even going to come close. And the thing about it is, what's worse for Bronny is you got guys that are coming in there and they're pretty much like looking to cook him, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm looking to embarrass you right now because you walked up here and I had to earn this and I'm going to bust your ass because you play for the Lakers. You're LeBron James' son. And I'm going to show everybody why I should be in the league and you shouldn't be. That's a tough sandwich to be able to be dealt every day you play.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he's dealt every day he plays.
I mean,
somebody's going at him, giving them their his best. And not only that, you know they're talking shit too. You know.
Oh, completely. Completely. And to think that, I mean, you know he's been dealing with this since birth. You know, he's LeBron James's kid. Like, that's got a lot of... And to make matters more complex, it's LeBron James Jr. Like, you just put there's a freaking huge-ass bullseye on this kid from birth. Mm-hmm. And with that comes expectations. And he wasn't the greatest recruit coming out of high school. You know, he had that incident, you know, the heart incident, the cardiac incident at USC. And that stunted his growth. You and I are on record saying that he should not have come out of the draft. He should not have come out of school. And right now, he could be working his way into the lottery. Like, if he was a junior in college and he put in the time and he put in the effort, maybe not at USC, maybe at someplace else, you know, you take that sweet ass NIL money and you enter the transfer portal. You know, who knows? Maybe he would have ended up with Skip in St. John's. But, you know, he could have worked his way into a lottery pick and earned that obscene contract that he got with the Lakers for being a second-round pick. He could have earned that. Instead, it was kind of handed to him because he's LeBron James's kid. Like, I think we all understand that the level of nepotism there. And that's okay. It's LeBron's prerogative. You want to look after your kid? Look after your kid. That's, you know, whatever. That's a different argument. But you can't say this is good for Bronny James. In no capacity is this good for him to ride the pine, shuttle between Santa Cruz and Los Angeles to get cooked by guys who are trying to make a point every night.
Yeah. We become like a circus. He's a circus act. You know, because I'm sure when he plays, the ticket prices go up and people are going to those games because, you know, you want to see LeBron, but you're also you want to see him play too.
Right.
You know, and it's just not a good situation. And like you said, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You play well and we're going to come on and we're going to kill you because you're fucking playing well in the G League and it doesn't transition to the NBA ever. Or we're going to come up and kill you and say, man, you can't even hack it in the G League.
The best thing that could have happened to him was that either he stayed in college or he should be in Europe right now.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what my whole argument has been all along. Is like, Bronny, do you love basketball? Because if you love basketball, then go play basketball. You don't got to play with your dad. I'm sure it's great to play with your dad. I mean, I don't think anybody on the face of the earth has had the opportunity to play professional basketball with their dad. But what are we doing this for? We're not doing it for money. You got money.
You suffer life.
You got plenty of money. So what are we doing? You doing it because you love basketball? If you love basketball, then go play anywhere. But, you know, it's just an ugly look, and it's like nobody in that camp can see it, or they see it and they don't want to see it. And that's the worst part of it all. See, it's like there's just like you're just letting this happen, you know. But
100%. And then, you know, I mean, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Because what happens, you're Noah Esenge getting posterized, and now you're a meme, or you're Cooper Flagg, who proved his point and he's not playing. But yeah, you know, like
right.
the summer league is the nothingest of nothing burgers. And to you know, it's like being, you know, it's like, oh, I'm the summer league MVP. What does that translate to? Nothing.
But he can't even get that, dude. Like, he can't even get that. That's the worst part about it, is he can't even fucking get that.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Moving on. Garrett Wilson signed a $130 million contract extension with the New York Jets that will make him a Jet through 2030. And also, Z, you pointed out that Sauce Gardner also signed an extension with the Jets, making him the highest paid corner. He signed a 4-year, $120.4 million extension that will pay him $30.1 million a year, while Derek Stingley is getting $30 million a year. So the original question was, and I guess I'll still pose the same question, is if you're Garrett Wilson, why would you sign an extension with the New York Jets? I get why Sauce Gardner did, because they made him the highest paid corner, and there's no way you're not going to take that deal. But why in God's name did Garrett Wilson sign an extension with the New York Jets?
Well, it puts him in the top five, which is very interesting. There are only a few wide receivers who are getting paid more than Garrett Wilson. You're looking at Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, that ilk. And Garrett Wilson's not in that. He's not in that stratosphere yet. There's still untapped potential with Garrett Wilson. And I would argue that the Jets may have gotten a friggin' bargain.
Oh, I know what the Jets got out of this. I'm not shitting on the Jets for what they did. In fact, this might be the best move Moogie's made so far, to re-sign both of those guys.
Oh, the Moogster's doing great right now.
You locked up one of the best corners in the game for your team. You also kept your best offensive, probably second best offensive weapon through 2030. So, no, I give all credit and all points to the Jets.
90 million guarantee.
I'm having a hard time understanding is, if you're Garrett Wilson, why do you sign this contract? Z, I get what you're saying, that, oh, he's top four, top five. Z, has this organization shown that they know what to do with offensive players? Have they shown that they know that they're going to put you in a good position to succeed?
No.
Have they shown you that they are committed to winning and to success?
No.
That's why I don't understand why he would sign this contract, and what would make his agent tell him,
yo, we need to sign this contract. Like, what? Huh? You work for me, right? Are you looking out for what's best for me? Yes, from a money standpoint, sure, it makes sense, but you're telling me there isn't another team out there that's going to pay Garrett Wilson what the Jets just paid Garrett Wilson? You're telling me...
I'm sure there's some...
You're telling me that the San Francisco 49ers wouldn't pay Garrett Wilson?
I would argue that the 49ers are not exactly in great shakes either. We'll talk about them in a second.
You're telling me that the Rams... Well, the Rams have Adams right now, but there are other teams that would pay him.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I don't understand why you want to be... And you know what? I guess it speaks to his character. You know, maybe he looks at it and says, okay, this is the team that drafted me. I said I was going to be here and I'm not going to leave here. Mm-hmm. But my man, like, Justin Fields is throwing you the ball this year.
Bingo. Hang on right there. His boy is there now, right? He's getting $90 million guaranteed. And he's his best friend. One of his best friends is his quarterback. Like, that's the situation that we're looking at right now. Now, is it a smart decision? Only time will tell. History says no. Knowing the history of the Jets says no. But if you're a Jet fan, you're kind of smoking the hopium right now. You're kind of dreaming a little bit because this organization is reversing itself from what it's been doing the past few years when it hoarded itself out to Aaron Rodgers. It's like, we're not getting rid of the young guys. We're investing in the young guys. We didn't trade Breece Hall. We're keeping Breece Hall. We're not
Can they afford to keep him now?
I think they can. They locked up Quinnen Williams. He's the only other guy besides Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner that is a first-round draft pick that they locked up. Like, that's it. It's those three guys. And Breece Hall, you know, he's had solid seasons. Under Aaron Glenn, I think he will be featured, unlike in years past in recent history. So I think he'll come asking for it. And I think Darren Moogie, and I think the Jets organization under Moogie and Glenn, I think they're investing in the guys that are there. And they should, because the cupboard's not bare. The cupboard's not bare. There is some talent there. They need to evaluate quarter. You know, they don't know if Justin Fields is the guy or not. Or if he's not the guy, they're going to be drafting a quarterback next year. And maybe they should be drafting a quarterback anyway. So we're gonna determine that. Garrett Wilson, that's going to be a steal. The Sauce Gardner contract, based on performance and based on numbers, it feels like an overpay. $60 million guaranteed for 3 picks and 42 pass defenses?
Well, how else were they supposed to get him to stay?
No.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's clear why he's staying. They paid him. He wasn't going to stay unless you made him the highest paid corner.
Until he's not.
Smart agent. The other one, I'm not signing an extension with you guys. I've had 4 different quarterbacks throwing me the ball the last fucking 4 years.
He has caught a pass from 7 different quarterbacks in his career. 7. Ridiculous. Justin Fields will make number 8. Maybe 8's enough. Maybe they finally have something with him and Justin Fields.
I think Justin Fields is good, but if I'm Garrett Wilson, do I really believe that he's going to give me double-digit touchdowns? Do I really believe that he's going to give me 1,000 yards this year? Because that's what it comes down to, right? I need over 100 catches, I need 1,000 yards, and I need double-digit touchdowns. Do I believe Justin Fields could deliver on that?
I think so, because he's going to be the primary target. That's the thing. When Rodgers was there, there were games and there were times when Garrett Wilson completely disappeared. Now, there were also, you know, other players on this team, like one Mr. Davante Adams, that demanded the ball and had a certain relationship with the quarterback. And reports indicate that Garrett Wilson was going to seek a trade if they brought back Rodgers. So that's a very interesting layer.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe Justin Fields was what he suggested. And maybe that's why he re-signed, right? Maybe it was like, okay, listen, go get Justin Fields and I'll re-sign.
The other maybe? Two,
like,
possible.
Right? But that, yeah. There, what, like, I'm, I guess what I'm trying to say is there is no way that you didn't re-sign without having some kind of say in the future of this offense or get something that you want out of it. Don't tell me that all you wanted was the money. You needed to know something. You needed to know, be in on the plan. You need to be told you were going to be featured this year. You need to be told that you were going to get 100 catches. You need to be told that you were going to get double-digit touchdowns. Like, what did they sell you on to get you to sign this contract? Because if I was your agent, I'm telling you not to sign the contract. I'm seeking a trade for you. I'm trying to tell you this is where we're going next year. We're going to make some money, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you.
All he had to do was look at the depth chart. It's Josh Reynolds and Alan Lazard. There you go. You're getting your 100 catches right there.
Yeah, those are your other two wideouts. If those are the other two wideouts, then I'm getting doubled. I got to break double coverage. I'm going to be getting doubled all game, right?
And that's what Bruce Hall comes in.
So I got to rely on him?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not signing that deal. No way. No, there's nothing that organization could have told me for me to sign that contract. Other than if I had a say and I was the one that said, bring in Justin Fields and I'll stay here. Or if it was more along the lines, feature me in the offense and I'll stay. But the fact that they're just throwing that money at him for him to be on the team for the next 5 years. 5 years. No. But sticking with wide receiver drama, the 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings has asked for a new contract from the 49ers, or he'd like to be traded. The wide receiver has 77 receptions, 6 touchdowns last year, and he seems to be taking a page out of Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel's playbook. Sozy, should the 49ers trade him or give him the contract he's looking for?
And might have been the Super Bowl MVP if they held on to that. They might. He had serious numbers, and it could have been a consideration for Super Bowl MVP. Are they going to keep him, or are they going to deal him?
No. What do you think they should do?
Well, here's what's going to happen.
I know what they're going to do.
So, they are going to keep him. He's going to get hurt. It's going to tank his value. And then we're right back here next year. Because this is the rinse and repeat of the San Francisco 49ers. Think about Ayuk. Wanted out. Got hurt. Deebo. Wanted out. Got hurt. Like, this is the MO. Like, this is what's going to happen. So, if they are going to trade him, if they're sick and tired of wide receivers dictating terms and they want to get out from under it and get it ahead of the game instead of waiting and waiting and waiting, deal him now. Deal him now. If that's the case, his value will not be higher. His value and health will not be higher. As we go along in the season, his value will depreciate because he's in this system with Kyle Shanahan and he's going to get hurt. It's inevitable. Everybody on this team gets fucking hurt. And it's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking. I think they're going to play hardball with him. It's going to be acrimonious. And eventually it's going to end in a split. Because that seems to be the way things go. And, you know, they went and got Pearsall. So he would be their third receiver. They could, in theory, deal him for maybe a third, maybe a fourth. somewhere in there. He has performed well. He has equated himself well. He could probably get you something. But I think, stubbornly, they're going to hang on. And they're going to try and get through this. And it's going to bite them in the ass. That's what I think is going to happen. But should they trade him? Yeah. I think they should absolutely trade him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not paying this guy. This is just... He's muddying the waters. He's already making trouble. But I get where he's coming from. Because like you said, Z, he's going to get hurt. He knows he's going to get hurt. Everybody gets hurt in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So before I get hurt, let me get some guaranteed money. Because looking at his numbers, I mean, 975 yards, 6 touchdowns, 77 catches. Year before, only 19 catches. I mean, he's not exactly lighting it up here. Like, he's all right. Year before that, 35 catches.
He's a third receiver in that system. He was with Debo and he was with Ayuk. He was number three.
Great. It's not like he's Jackson Najigba who took over. He took over Lockett and he took over Debo. I mean, DK.
Like I would argue he's fourth because George Kittle's on that team. Actually, he would probably be fourth or even fifth option behind McCaffrey.
That's a guy in the Jigba who you pay and you keep. This guy. Who are you again? What's your name? Who you play for? You know, it's just like it's odd to me how all these receivers nowadays are really just coming out and asking to be paid. I can't remember a time in history of the NFL when it was like that. You think about like the 80s and 90s. Z, do you remember guys coming out and asking to get paid? Do you remember guys like Brandon Stokely saying, hey man, I want my money? Like, you remember like, you know, those guys like looking for, like, of course you had your Jerry Rices and your Terrell Owens and Randy Mosses that were doing well in your Wes Welkers, but do you remember the B guy or the C guy being like, yo, where's my money? Back up the truck. I need to get paid. Remember Alvin Harper being like, yo, where's my money?
You never heard about this stuff.
Never heard about it, right?
Never.
Even if you can go to the early 2000s, I don't remember Hines Ward being like, yo, where's my money? Or even, Mike Wallace?
No.
Where's my money?
Actually, Mike Wallace, yes. Because Mike Wallace took that money from Miami. But where's my money? It's in Miami. That's where it is. Right. So there goes my career.
It's weird how, like, you know, you had the quarterbacks in the 80s and the 90s were just like spreading the ball out. And then it's like these quarterbacks now that are putting up all these numbers, they really focus on like certain receivers. Like certain receivers are getting 10 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, because that's who they're going to the whole time. But, you know, I can't see an area where this guy has a case or anything to stand on. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, and I would trade him for a ham sandwich. Like, what? How good are you, dude? Like, I'll get somebody to play this position. Like, whatever. You know, we're going to run the ball anyway. So, you know. But I think Purdy is going to have a really good year this year. Second full year of being healthy. I think he'll have more command of the offense. I heard him talk on Bussin' with the Boys recently. Give a little plug to their show. It was a good show. And he just seems like a stand-up guy. He just seems like a really good guy. He seems like a really hard worker who busted his ass to get where he is. And I'm rooting for him. I want him to succeed. I want him to do well. You're going to have, you know, Christian McCaffrey coming off injury, but I think, you know, the backup running back's pretty good. You know, Kittle's going to be okay, but I think they'll struggle, but I think Purdy will have a good year. But they don't need this Juwan Jennings guy. Fuck that.
Well, I mean, they're a third place team with him, they're a third place team without him. So it's one of those things that he's not going to move the needle so much.
Why am I going to pay you? Who are you? Who is this guy?
Because at the deadline, they could turn around and dump a bunch of picks to Washington and get Terry McLaurin. Because he's not exactly gruntled right now. So
yes, that's actually a great trade. I would trade for Terry McLaurin and pay Terry McLaurin. He's a very good player.
So, you know, that's the thing. The wide receiver position, as we know, it has long overvalued itself and has overestimated its worth to where you have like third string or third receivers expecting.
Fucking Darnell Mooney's better than you, dude. It's like, imagine Darnell Mooney being like, yo, I want my money.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Darnell Mooney could ask for the sun, moon, the stars, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, no. You're still just, you couldn't hack it on the Bears. Get out of here. You couldn't hack it in the Falcons. Go away. Absolutely not. But another player who's saying goodbye, and a player who I didn't realize actually didn't retire, was Ndamukong Suh. Did you know he wasn't retired? I thought he was retired. But it's official.
I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, apparently he was just chilling, waiting for a phone call. You know, 38 years old, he finally announced his retirement. So, what will your memories be of one Mr. Ndamukong Suh?
Domination, really. He was a problem. And when I think of the best defensive tackles of our generation, he's one of the guys that comes to mind. Not that J.J. Watt garbage. Like, this guy won a Super Bowl. They had a plan for him. You know, I want to say he got drafted really high. I want to say he went like first or second or something.
He was number one.
Yeah.
Number one to the Detroit Lions.
So, you know, he had that whole incident where I think he stepped on a player. I think he stepped on Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that. But, you know, I think he was a fierce competitor. Brady mentioned how he was one of the people that he feared the most when going up against him. And, yeah, I mean, I think he was well worth the time spent in the league. He played for Detroit, Miami, the Rams, the Bucks, and then he played for the Eagles. I didn't realize that he's been out of the league for 3 years. Wow. Okay.
Right?
But yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Who knew? Like, I didn't know. Like, I mean, I didn't really, you know, I paid no mind to Ndamukong Suh not being. I forgot he was an Eagle. So there you go. That goes to show you the tail end of his career post Tampa Bay. But vicious hitter. He definitely was a problem in the backfield. But that intensity bit him on the ass more than once. So not just the stomping of Aaron Rodgers, which he did. He did, in fact, stomp on Aaron Rodgers. But he also stomped on Evan Dietrich Smith on Thanksgiving. So there you go.
I feel like he picked up a center and, like, slammed him on his head. Like, that's how powerful he was.
Yeah, he was a strong, you know, Ndamukong Suh was a strong dude. And with that comes a level of violence that few people can muster. Especially if you're, you know, you're unaware of your own strength or lack the ability to channel that strength to where you can have to kind of pull back a little bit. Because, yeah, Ndamukong Suh was trying to rip your fucking head off every play. And that's commendable. You know, it's not like Bill Romanowski where he was on roids and it was, you know, roid rage. And that's why he was doing it because he wanted to win the game. And it made him a wonderful tackle. It made him a fierce competitor. It made him a sought-after commodity. Tom Brady convinced him to join Tampa Bay. Like, you can't beat him, join him. And he wanted Ndamukong Suh on his team because he knew the level of competitor and he knew the level of teammate he was getting. You know, and overall, like, he always towed the line. You know, it was always the line between, you know, too far and just right. There was always a fine waiting, very, very close to a fine waiting for him. Even on a routine play, you know, you're just waiting for the league to call and issue that fine. Because it is such a line. When you play with that level of intensity and you play with that level of violence, controlled violence, but violence nonetheless. Like, you're going to get called on it when you go too far. And Ndamukong Suh was no stranger to being called out for going too far.
He was also one of those guys where you weren't supposed to talk shit to him during the game. Like, no. Players would warn you, listen, don't bark up that tree because I got to deal with him. Don't just leave it alone. Like, you know, let's just play the game, you know. But I've heard that before. Like, yeah, you know, no, people saying, don't rile him up. No. Don't rile him up.
But that's the thing, though. You only made it worse for your quarterback. But at the same time, like, you could kind of neutralize him in that because you get him so worked up that he works his way into a situation where he's getting fined and suspended. So harnessing the emotion, harnessing the drive is definitely something that Ndamukong Suh, like, had to work on coming out of Nebraska. But he seemed to get it. Like, by the end of his career, he definitely figured out how to do it. And he was chippy. He was ornery. He was a hell of a football player. And I don't know. I don't know where that next Ndamukong Suh is going to come from. But the NFL has certainly lost a stud player, even though he was very... Even though it was kind of checkered with his record as far as, you know, going too far. But there are few players as good as Ndamukong Suh. And the league is better when you have guys like that roaming in between the lines.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics, right?
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. The NBA dunk contest is better than the home run derby.
No, bullshit. I do not. You got guys off the street coming and winning the fucking dunk contest. Matt McClung, who can't even make an NBA roster, is winning the dunk contest. There ain't no AAA guy or AA guy that's going to come up to the majors and win the home run derby. Take the home run derby every day, twice on Sunday. I like watching the home run derby. I may not watch the whole derby and put up with all the new rules that Manfred put in, but I do enjoy watching the derby.
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. Yeah, all you need to know is that Mac McClung cannot make a roster, but he is pretty much signed to a 10-day contract around All-Star time just so he can compete in the dunk contest.
I feel like the NBA is proud of that, too. They're proud that he does this.
Well, he is no longer participating in this. Like, he's not interested in being like a sideshow pony. So, like, that's good for him. Good for Mac McClung.
Good for him having respect for you, for yourself.
That's right. Damn it.
You're not a whore.
I got nothing left to prove, man. How many times do I have to beat these fuckers? Get me some better competition. Get me some better fucking competition. So, it is absolute bullshit, but the Home Run Derby is no great shakes, like you mentioned. Like, it's not what it used to be. I would argue that the best skills competition belongs to the NHL.
Yeah.
Fastest skater, breakaway relay, hardest shot. That's the stuff I want to see.
And I think the NBA has a decent skills competition, but the MLB doesn't do any kind of skills competition, do they?
Oh, and that's not going to be fun. You know, that would be great. Like, I know in the past we talked about, like, I mean, obviously you can't have, like, a guy trying to hose, you know, from the right field warning track to home because he'll blow out his arm. But you could totally have, like, in Korea they do the bunt derby. You're telling me they can't do the bunt derby? You know, they can't do, like,
hitting competition, like trying to hit targets on the field, like trying to hit them, you know, with the, you know, have somebody pitch to you and hit them. I don't know what kind of skills fielding competitions you could do without anybody getting hurt. You know, you don't want anybody throwing.
I mean, if you look at banana ball, you can have like horse. You can do like trick plays. Like, you can kind of make it work. For catchers, you can have pop time, like fastest pop time. You know, there are some things you can do. You have to, like, toe the line of safety for sure, because, you know, it's something that needs to be taken into account. But, I mean, the skills competition in the NBA is great, but when teams want to do it. And then you have teams like the Spurs who are just like, fuck this, we're done. Like, we're just going to forfeit. Like, that was a joke. That was an absolute joke. So, you can keep both of those. Give me the NHL. I am here for that. And you know what? Honestly, even the Pro Bowl games are—they're starting to grow on me a little bit. It's a sideshow. It's at the end of the season. Nobody gives a shit.
Don't give them the satisfaction.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I mean, I think the idea of a—I also think the idea of a mid-season All-Star game is kind of passé. I think just give it the honor at the end of the season. But I think we'd be better off just plowing through. We wouldn't have World Series games in November, and then we would be fine with that. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, Chris Carter was overrated?
Yeah, so this comes up because Asante Samuel said that Chris Carter was overrated. All he was a possession receiver. Okay, so I'm gonna go on Chris Carter's side on this and say that no, he wasn't overrated. Yes, he was the possession receiver, but he might have been the best possession receiver in history. And he also was a possession receiver that caught touchdowns. Like, he caught more touchdown passes as a possession receiver than any other possession receiver I know. So I don't think he was overrated. I do think there was some talent there. He probably thinks he's better than he was. He's still elite, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And like I said, my man caught touchdown passes. He's legit.
Chris Carter, it is bullshit that he's overrated. No, right. Chris Carter is perfectly rated where he is. If anything, he's wasted potential because of all of the drug abuse when he was in Philly. So he is a cautionary tale, and I believe he speaks at the rookie camps. I think he still does that, you know, cautionary tales. So he himself, I think, would say he could have been better than he was. But what he was pretty fucking good, you know? And, you know, when you're looking at it, just randomly, I chose Devontae Adams. I'm like, okay, let me compare him and Devontae Adams. Not that far off. Like, we herald Devontae Adams as a great player, and the stats are very similar. Very similar. Eventually, if Devontae Adams plays more, because I believe he is a few years short, he'll pass Chris Carter. Like, he'll be, you know, he'll pass him. But that's still really good. If we're lauding him, Now look at a guy like Tyreek Hill. Compare Chris Carter to Tyreek Hill. Chris Carter has 50 more touchdowns than Tyreek Hill. And we consider Tyreek Hill as a very good receiver. So Chris Carter would more than hold his own. Absolutely. So Asante Samuel, that sounds like a little bit of sour grapes. And it sounds
sounds like he's picking a fight. He's just trying to get likes, I guess.
For what? I don't understand. It's, you know, it's not even like, did they even play against each other? Patriots and the Vikings ever play against? No. So
no, he was gone.
Yeah, he was gone.
Gone by then. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, hypothetically,
this all happened because I think Chris Carter was not talking shit about Ocho Cinco, but he was just saying something about Ocho Cinco, and Asante Samuel felt the need to defend Ocho Cinco and go after Chris Carter's credibility.
Okay, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Ocho was a fine receiver too, you know, and Chris Carter has been in the media for long enough that this man's entitled to his opinion. I think that he's, you know, I think that he has enough gravitas with his reputation that he doesn't just speak out of his ass. I think Chris Carter kind of knows what he's talking about. So it would be interesting, you know, if we could call some stats about, you know, Vikings versus Patriots and how Chris Carter did against Asante Samuel if they played each other.
So I looked it up. So Chris Carter said that Chad Ocho Cinco couldn't get open against average guys. There were points in Chad's career you had to go out there and tell him what to do because he couldn't get open to save his life.
Is he wrong? I mean, he might be wrong about how he's phrasing it, but when you're looking at the tape, at the later part of his career, after injury started to mount, Chad Ocho Cinco, it was hard for him to kind of get open. And, you know, he wasn't the best route runner. We know that Chad Ocho Cinco wasn't the best route runner. So there's elements of truth in there. I think he probably could have said it better.
See, I don't know about that. I think back to Chad, and Chad was a pretty decent route runner. I mean, there were games where teams would pretty much double him, and they would deal with whatever Husmanzada did. Chad was a problem for about 4 or 5 years. He was really good for 4 or 5 years. I don't know if that's true that he couldn't get open against average guys. You'd have to tell me who the average guy is. Are you trying to say like Pac-Man Jones? Like, who are you talking about? Who's the average guy that he couldn't get by? And maybe that guy was just, you know, playing towards Chad's weakness. And yeah, Chad still got his numbers. See, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but it,
would
you know,
you say Chris Carter couldn't get open against some average guys? I mean, I think is true too.
Yeah, well,
his argument was that he was also dealing with some really good guys. He was going against Rod Woodson. He's going against Atwater. Like, he was going against Champ Bailey, Green, Darryl Green.
Right. Chad was going up against Nandi. He was going up against Revis. He was going up against Antonio Cromartie. Like, there are plenty of guys that you could say that Chad Johnson was going up against. And, you know, you'd have to go back and examine every single game against the guys that weren't the top corners. Like, you'd have to go and do a really deep dive. And I think that could be said for a lot of premier wideouts.
We would agree that Chad is probably not a Hall of Famer.
No. He's very good.
Chris Carter is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. No. Chad Johnson was very good. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say he was a Hall of Famer. But yeah, it's one of those things that you'd have to really do a deep dive. And, you know, credit to Asante Samuel for trying to, like, take up for his guy. But it's something that merits a deeper discussion. And you kind of need to, you know, look at it from a more nuanced perspective. Because there may be some elements of truth to there. there may be some elements of truth that Chris Carter couldn't get open against average guys. Like, you kind of need to watch the tape and go back and examine it. You need to go back and look at it. Because, you know, it may be true. We don't know. But Chris Carter has certainly earned his opinion as a pundit. He's certainly earned his opinion as a player. And, you know, he deserves to have that bust in Canton. So, but we're not taking the gold jacket away from him by any means.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I do not.
That would be one Mr. Rafael Devers. So.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Giants are struggling with him, and he's not hitting very good.
No. And then he snubbed Will Clark. And then apparently he has a lower back issue that they're trying to, you know, prehab and trying to rest it away. But if it's a disc issue, he's probably got to go under the knife. And this trade is going to look like a huge, huge mistake very quickly. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got Rob Manfred. Rob, coming to the defense of Jacob Mizorowski's all-star selection by saying the excitement that was going to be generated, the fan interest in seeing this guy, that's why he wanted to add him to the all-star game. Rob, you're not fucking Barnum and Bailey. Like, this is not the circus, dude. Like, just let the good players play. There's no reason to get involved in this. There's no reason to feel you had to push a guy who's only pitched in 5 games all year to play in the All-Star game. Rob Manfred, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number 2, I've got Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson recently signed his extension with the New York Jets, and I have to question why. I don't really get it. The extension will make him a Jet until the year 2030. By that time, the Jets will be on their 5th quarterback. Sauce Gardner won't be on the team anymore, and they'll be awful. Sauce Gardner, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. My last, not least, is Teddy Bridgewater. Ah, recently suspended from his Miami Northwestern coaching job for providing impermissible benefits to his players. Ah, Teddy, say it ain't so. Ah, there aren't any details, but it, you know, paying for Uber rides, meals, you can't be doing that for players, Teddy. Teddy Bridgewater, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
The Teddy Bridgewater thing is a little suspect, and it's mostly because of the fact that he wasn't suspended by the league. He wasn't suspended by the district. He was suspended by the school. But he was the board suspended Teddy Bridgewater. So reports indicate that he went back to the board and requested to raise funds. He was denied. He was a volunteer. So, I mean, they couldn't afford Teddy Bridgewater to begin with. Let's be real here.
I believe it's his alma mater.
Yeah, so he was already doing this pro bono. So they're like, okay, if you want donations, go out and seek them. All right, well, fuck you. I'm Teddy Bridgewater. But there you go. There's your big fish right there. So it's kind of one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. Letter of the law, absolutely. Dead to rights. You can't be doing that shit. Spirit of the law, he's your biggest benefactor. He's also the volunteer coach. So I don't know what you're supposed to do there. You know, that's on the school district. That's on the board. Like, that's kind of fucked. But I get it. Letter of the law in this NCAA Barney Fife, as Michael Wilbon likes to say. Yeah. Can't do it. Number one, I gotta go with PSG. Club World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Got fucking embarrassed by Chelsea. 3-0. After shutting out Real Madrid, after just cutting through this tournament like a hot knife through butter, and after winning the Champions League, yeah, you lost to fourth place Chelsea, fourth place in the Prems. Does that make them the European champion now? Like, is that the case? Like, can Chelsea now lay claim to being the champion of Europe? We think so. And I think next month, PSG plays Tottenham. I think it's the Super Cup, I believe, or something of that nature. I need to look at exactly what it is. But heck, this could be the start of something no good, very bad for Paris Saint-Germain. But PSG, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I'm going to stick with them. Coach Luis Enrique. In the post-match fracas, you can't grab a player's throat. Ever, ever, ever. You can't do that. You can't. I get it. You were trying to separate Donnarumma from the fray. Joao Pedro said something, and you lashed back at him. You are the adult. You are the manager. At some point, you need to be the cooler head. And you're most likely getting suspended 3 matches for that. You already got embarrassed. Why did you need to add insult to injury? Luis Enrique, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, Robert Griffin III. Oh, my goodness. For sending out or amplifying race bait tweets about Angel Reese, sparking further discussion and argument and confrontation on social media regarding Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese because of this weird obsession that Mr. Griffin has. At the end of the day, both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are finding their way in the league. There is no reason for you to prop one up and diminish the other. There is no place for highlighting race bait tweets. Ever. Ever, ever. Not all content is good content. Not all content needs to be amplified like that. You have a platform, and that's what you're choosing to amplify. Do better, Rob. Just do better. Robert Griffin III, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRobDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRobPodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.